today celebrates a day that we call Independence Day, which commemorates the day that these 13 British colonies come together to declare their independence from Great Britain. In fact, the first time that we were ever referred to as the United States of America was in the Declaration of Independence, which was accepted by the leadership of these 13 colonies on July the 4th, 1776. On July 3rd, we were a collection of colonies. July the 4th, we're the United States of America. And that's why we call it the birthday of our nation. Not 1619, as some of the ones that are wanting to change history. The United States of America came into existence in July the 4th, 1776. Oh yeah, with all our warts and pimples, but that's what we were. So I hope you take some time to recognize and give thanks to God for the blessings that we enjoy in this nation. Free. Of course, no holiday would be as much fun without a blooper here and there. There's a little fellow that was asked to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And he was so excited, but he got flustered. So he got up and he put his hand over his heart. And he said, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one naked individual with liberty and justice for all." Well, one naked individual may be too much, but I'm sure that young man's heart was in the right place as he did that recitation, even if his tongue let him down. As I could relate to that, I get my tongue around my eye tooth a lot and can't see what I'm saying. But I hope and pray that we all take some time today to consider what virtues that our nation is and how strong we are and what obstacles make us weak. In one part, each of us can play in building a nation that, in my hope and prayer, will last another 245 years and beyond after we're gone. Of course, there's some well-meaning people who believe that pointing out any weakness in the republic is unpatriotic, and they are like the business owner that I knew one time that would not allow his wife or any employees to point out any of his shortcomings. So he went to the formal company banquet where he was asked to say a few words, and he got up to say these few words, and he stood before this large group of employees and their spouses, and he spoke for 30 minutes with a large piece of lettuce stuck firmly between his two front teeth. And everyone saw it, but nobody had the courage to draw the attention to it. So sometimes the person who points out our weaknesses to us is our most valuable friend. That's hard, but we love friends that are honest with us, that can point out our weaknesses. So what we shared this morning from 2 Corinthians is all about weakness. It's about personal weakness, and unfortunately we all have them. And it doesn't matter what image that we present to the world or the people around us. It doesn't matter how much money we have in our bank account. And it doesn't matter what degree or title we have in our workplace. We all have weaknesses. And I don't think anybody puts their weaknesses on Instagram or Snapchat, which I never do either one. So I certainly wouldn't do that. Now, I'm not much of a Facebook person, but I don't think any of us wants to post our weaknesses. The problem is that we live in a prosperous, image-driven society, and nobody puts their weaknesses out. But some of our weaknesses are physical. Some of our weaknesses are mental. Some of our weaknesses are moral. And some of those weaknesses have to do with our work, with our family life, and with our relationships with Christ. Some of us, for example, have short tempers. Others struggle with depression or anxiety. Some of us are too proud. Other of us lack backbone in some areas, and we give in too quickly. But all of us are weak in some area of our life. The Apostle Paul had his weaknesses. Now, we lift him up and put him on a pedestal because he was a great Christian and he did a lot of good. But he had his weaknesses. And one particular caused him much heartache. Now, like I said earlier, we don't know what it was. He called it his thorn in the flesh. Some have suggested that Paul maybe suffered from epileptic seizures. If so, he was in good company. Two of the most powerful men who ever lived, Julius Caesar and Napoleon, were both epileptic, as many other great individuals throughout history. But the Apostle Paul's day, there was no drugs like Dilantin or Keppra to control these seizures. If that was his thorn in the side, he stuck with it. Paul prayed to God that would deliver him from that affliction. And three times he beseeched God about this matter. But God's answer to him was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Think about those words. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In other words, God seemed to be saying to Paul, "Trust me, I will take care of you, and I can use your weakness to demonstrate my power." So all of us can learn an awful lot from Paul's experience. Paul not only learned to accept this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, he even began to boast about his weakness in order to show the power of Christ. There's a wonderful lesson there, I think, for all of us. This little book called the Bible, Believer's Instruction Before Leaving Earth. We can all get an awful lot from this instruction manual. Because our weakness, whatever it may be, can become our strength if we will only commit it to God. Our weakness can become strength. Why? Because it causes us to grow. When we grow beyond fear, beyond self-centeredness, beyond immaturity, then we can reflect God's glory. God's glory may shimmer in our strength, but it shines in our weakness. When others see us grow in patience, wisdom, courage, and faith through our heartaches, that's when we can see God's glory shining a convicting light into our hearts, into our minds of others around. And they look and they say, "Wow, I see God in you. I want what you have." It opens the door for us to share our faith and hope that we have in Christ that we can share with others. Now, it's only human to pray to God to fix our problems and our troubles. And the Apostle Paul had done it more than once. In fact, he did it three times. He said, "I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." Begged, pleaded. What do you do when God doesn't fix your previous problems? That's the time when you pray for God to reveal himself in your troubles. But he said to me, Paul said, "But my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, and my power is made perfect in your weakness." So when we give up on our own strength and rely totally on God's help to endure us through our troubles, that's the point when we discover the true nature of God's character and the truth of his faithfulness. And more importantly, as we sang last week in the hymn, "Standing on the Promises." We see God's promises. So we think about sometimes, and we reach a point in our lives when we're pleading with God to change us or to change our circumstances or even change that woman that I'm married to. Oh, I don't have to change. She's pretty good. But, you know, change that person over there. Does it seem that God is silent sometimes in those struggles and those requests? Then instead of asking God to fix your circumstances, ask him to reveal himself in your circumstances, and I can assure you he will. Admit that's the only way that you'll get through it, with God's help and with God's strength, and look for opportunities to grow in courage, compassion, and wisdom. because our weakness can become strength. Help us to grow in grace. They can also be strength if they make us more determined to give our best in all circumstances. We need to remember that our life is just not about us. Because if you believe in God as your creator, then you know that God made you for a greater purpose than your own happiness and your own comfort. So when people look at us and look at our character and our choices that we make and priorities in our actions, they should be able to see the power and the truth and the love of the God of wisdom. Now, other people feel some impact from your life. Everybody has an impact on somebody. They should be inspired or comforted or challenged or changed because of their contact with us as we interact. That's what the church is all about. And I don't mean necessarily Bethel. I'm talking about the worldwide church of God in Jesus Christ. They need to see how we respond in our weakness. God may shimmer in our strength, but he shines in our weakness if we let our weakness lead us to grow and if it causes us to give our best effort in all circumstances. That's all we are required to do our very best. Our weakness can also become a strength. It helps us to change life's course. Sometimes what seems as a weakness is a signal that we are pursuing the wrong trail. Do you ever get to a crossroad or traveling someplace and you really forgot where you are and you come and you, ooh, do I go left or do I go right? Sometimes we choose the wrong one and then we realize that we go back and correct it. But since this is the day the Lord has made for us to celebrate our independence, I thought I might tell you a story about one of the best known figures in our battle for independence. He was a man who needed to begin again and again and again. His name was Patrick Henry. Even though Patrick Henry had been revered most of our history as a patriot and an orator, for years in his life, Patrick Henry was a miserable failure. He and his brother opened a store, and it failed. Next, Patrick's father-in-law set him up in the farming business. Patrick was given 300 acres, a house, and 6 slaves. Now, that's interesting, I think, that Patrick Henry was a slave owner, because he is best known for "Give Me Liberty" or "Give Me Death" speech. But somehow he didn't think that the men and women who worked for him on his farm maybe had the same sentiments. So some of our ancestors had the same kind of blind spot as we were birthed and started to grow of an infant country to where we are today, giving us a constitution and a bill of rights that we can grow in grace and do the kind of things to help folks along through their freedom that is granted to all of us in this country. But in spite of his father-in-law's generosity, Patrick Henry also failed as a farmer. Finally, on the advice of some of his friends, Patrick Henry decided to become a lawyer. Patrick Henry was an instant success as a lawyer. Further, he was exactly the voice that was needed to launch these little colonies towards the break with England. Give me liberty or give me death. It was the perfect sentiment for the time. Though he shared a glaring and remarkable weakness with many of our ancestors, Patrick Henry was not a failure. He was simply in the wrong field for much of his life. Did you ever get into a dead-end job in your life and you needed to make a change? That's all. He had some wonderful gifts from God, but he was in the wrong field. Finally, I'll close with this, that most of the importance of our weakness may become our strength if they remind us of our dependence on God Almighty. I can just hear the Apostle Paul boasting, can't you? Look at me. He would say, I was once persecuting the church. Look at me, a man who had to do battle with a humiliating affliction, this thorn in the flesh. Yet, Paul said, Christ has given me the opportunity to plant churches all over the world. Because Paul was a man of tremendous intellect, and he was also a man of unquestionable persuasive powers. Perhaps if it's not been for that thorn in the flesh, he would have leaned upon his own ability rather than the power of God working through him. God worked through all of us. And I would never heard of the name of the Apostle Paul if that hadn't been the case. His hurt became a halo. And the same thing can happen to all of us. If our weakness helps us to grow, if our weakness makes us determined to succeed, and if our weaknesses causes us to try new things, and if our weakness causes us to rely on God, what a blessing. Because God has the power, the authority, the mercy to answer every prayer and take away every weakness. He could make our life smooth and comfy, like one of those beautiful velvet blankets that Judy's got from her people that help her with the cancer treatments. They're nice, they're soft and cuddly. But why doesn't he? Why doesn't God make our life just comfy and everything? Well, I think it's because life is meant to be a reflection of God's love and power. And God's power is made perfect in weakness. And we may have the faith to say along with the Apostle Paul, therefore I will boast all more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in all difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Declaration of Independence. But I want to share with you another declaration. And it's called the Declaration of Dependence upon God and His Holy Word. This was put together by a Christian organization some time ago, and I've held on to it all these years because, especially on a day that we celebrate our independence, I think it's well worth it to look at our dependence on God. This is what it says. It's short. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Since our Creator gave us these rights, we declare that no government has the right to take them away. Among these rights is the right to exercise our Christian beliefs as put forth in God's holy word. We therefore declare that God grants life at conception, and no one has the right to take that life unless it's a direct threat to the life of the mother. Marriage was instituted by God between one man and one woman. The Lord God gave only this family unit the responsibility to have children and raise them in the fear of the Lord. That's better translated in the love of the Lord. We therefore respectfully reserve the right to refuse any mandate by the government that forces us to fund or support abortion. We oppose same-sex marriage, polygamy, bestiality, and all forms of sexual perversion prohibited by the Holy Scriptures. We proclaim that Jesus has provided the cure for all sin, and therefore reach out to the sinner in love. But do not embrace the sin, knowing its destructive nature. Therefore, we, the undersigned, and there give you an opportunity to sign it, not only as Christians, but also as believing that we have the constitutional right as Americans to follow these time-honored Christian beliefs, committed to conducting our churches, our ministries, our business, and our personal life in accordance with the Christian faith, and choose to obey God rather than man. We love everybody. God loves everybody. But you know, sometimes where the sin nature takes over, it destroys a person. But there's always a way out. I could have remained an alcoholic. I could have done a lot of things. I told you before, my old life was a combination of King David. And you know, King David, he had his own little sexual immorality problems, and the Apostle Paul persecuting the church. But I decided, as that little old song says, I decided to follow Jesus. And there's no looking back.